Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Vahini Satsang. Today's episode was first aired on the 11th May 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vahini Satsang, our series on Radio Sai, where we have this beautiful opportunity of dwelling on the written message of Bhagwan, of dwelling on the stream of precious nectarous messages that Bhagwan himself penned painstakingly year after year since 1958. So that mankind learns and assimilates what it is that is needed to make each of our lives fruitful, useful, and fulfilling. We started almost 18 weeks ago with Prema Vahini, and that continues. We have done 7 chapters of Prema Vahini, and Bhagwan on different occasions has sent to the studios. He's chosen beautiful instruments. When we started chapter 8, for the first paragraph of chapter 8, we had Mr. Sanjay Sahani sharing his insights. On the second paragraph of this chapter, we had Dr. Sailesh Srivastava, who gave us beautiful experiences from his own life, explaining to us the relationship between food and spiritual progress. And today, by Bhagwan's grace, we have someone who has for decades diligently spent every second of his life thinking how to spiritualize the lives of the younger generation. Someone who, even as he was teaching management in the college, was all the time concerned how the students will get that spiritual foundation so that they become good managers and good citizens. Someone who never minced words when it came to the importance of spiritual life, spiritual learning in daily living, and someone who was directed by Bhagwan personally to do this, and who received immense direction and attention from Bhagwan, someone who is loved by every student who leaves the portals of Bhagwan's university after doing his MBA, Mr. H.J. Bhagya. It's really a blessing that we have him for this episode of Vahini Satsang. Really grateful to Swami that he has arranged this for us. So, with prayers to Bhagwan that we understand, at least to some extent, what he is trying to convey to us in this third paragraph, the third segment of chapter 8, we begin this week's Vahini Satsang. So let me begin by first welcoming sir. Thank you so much, sir, for taking your time out and being with us for this episode of Vahini Satsang.
No, you are always together. I find it as an opportunity given to be here and share what Bhagwan has given to many people. I think this is the least we can do now in his physical absence.
Wonderful, sir. So shall we start listening to what Bhagwan has said in the chapter, please, 8.3.
ఇన్ని చేయవలసిన కర్తవ్య కర్మలు ముందుంచుకుని సాక్షాత్కారమును సాధించవలెనన్న సాధ్యమగునా? ప్రవర్తన మార్గం వల్ల పవిత్రతను పొంది ఆ పవిత్రత మూలమున పరమార్థమును తెలుసుకున సాధ్యమగును. లౌకిక లోకమున ఇట్టి అనుభవములు లేనిదే యథార్థము అర్థము కాదు. అర్థమైన తరువాత యథార్థమును పట్టుదమన్నా పట్టిన కదా అర్థమగును. ఈత వచ్చిన తదుపరి నీటి చెంతకు పోవుదునన్నా నీటి చెంతకు పోయినా కదా ఈత వచ్చును. నీటి చెంతకు వెళ్లి కొన్ని పరికరముల సహాయము వల్లనైనా అందులో పడిన కదా ఈత వచ్చును. నీటి దగ్గరకే వెళ్లకున్నా ఈత ఎట్లు వచ్చును? అదే రీతిగా పరమార్థపు మార్గము ఏ రీతిగానైనా ఏ ఆధారము సహాయముననైనా మనం సాధన మొదలెడిన కదా ఆ పరమాత్మను విషయం బోధపడును.
Given that there are so many acts and duties tearing at an individual, is it possible to attain realization? One needs to attain purity by pursuing the path of sacred behavior, and subsequently, through this purity, it is possible to recognize divinity. In this materialistic world, without such experiences, one cannot understand the reality. If one says one will pursue reality only after understanding it, isn't it true that only after pursuing it one can understand it? One may say that I will get into the water only after I learn to swim. However, isn't it true that only after one gets into the water can one learn swimming? One needs to go near the water, carry along required equipment, and jump into it. Only then swimming can be learned, isn't it? If one does not even go near the water, how can swimming be learned? Similarly, when it comes to the divine path, matters concerning the divine can be understood only when we, in some manner or the other, with the help of something or the other, begin our sadhana or our spiritual efforts.
So there are so many beautiful aspects that Swami is touching here, isn't it, sir? So many profound things. In fact, every line needs so much of explanation, and I'm sure you will have from your own experience to substantiate everything that Swami has said in this, isn't it?
Let me begin with the very first sentence.
Yes, sir.
Can I share some of my experiences?
Absolutely, sir. That's what we're looking at. Absolutely. Your own experience is what will really fill us with that inspiration, because you have been personally guided by Bhagwan, sir.
See, what had happened, I had seen lots of things in my life. Being an engineer, worked in India, abroad, many countries. I came to the point that nothing gives me satisfaction or contentment or fulfillment. So I was praying to Lord that what is the purpose of life?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in 1986, with permission of Bhagwan, when I was there in Bahrain, Middle East country, there something happened in the family and I wanted to come back and be with Swami here. I did that with His grace. Then my only prayer to Bhagwan was, there are many doubts in my mind. You have to clarify. Otherwise, there's no point in leaving such good position, money, comforts, and come here.
Like you had everything that the world can provide, materialistic yes. world can provide.
But still, as I said, no contentment, no fulfillment. There was something lacking, something wanting in me. So after I came here, I used to inquire with Swami by reading books and whatever interactions He gave. Then because He knows what I'm looking for, it so happened once in Vrindavan, 1987, He allowed me to join. Since 86, 87, He gave a personal interview, and there He told me, what are you doing? I was surprised that He Himself had introduced me in 1986 after I joined to the senior people here, that He is my professor for MBA boys. He has left the materialist world and He has come here. Again, when Bhagwan was asking me that, what are you doing? Still, I had the little ego of degrees and things like that, the experience. So I said, Swamiji, I am a chemical engineer, first class first, in Bombay University, and I am a professor in your college, because he had introduced me to others. Swami did not wait for completion of my sentence. He said, forget about your chemistry and chemical engineering, sir. Inquire, who am I? I was surprised that, Swami is asking about himself, that who he is.
Oh, who am I? So you thought, Swami is telling, inquire, who am I?
Yeah, about himself.
About himself.
In my mind, I was saying, telling that, Swami, I know you are God, that's why I came here. Then, without putting this thought in words, Swami said, see, you want to reach a goal. Suppose you are coming to Bangalore. Then you said, I am in the bus. Bangalore is coming. It will come, coming soon. He said, Bangalore nahi aata, tu jata. Bangalore is not coming to you. You will go to Bangalore. Swami is only the signpost. God will tell you the path, indicate the path. Walk you have to. Further, he said, on the path, if there are stones or thorns, out of his mercy, his grace, he may provide you the safety shoes to walk on the path. But walk you have to do.
Walk you must.
Similarly, if you find that his scorching sun, out of his mercy, he may give you the umbrella. But you have to walk yourself.
You have to hold the umbrella and walk.
And walk. Then I was still thinking. Then he said, see, Bhagya, when you enter into the world, it's like a very big hall. There's one entry, one exit. When we take birth, there's an entry. And the hall is filled with furniture, not orderly, disorderly placed, and many obstacles are there. He was giving the simile of hall means a world, and you are in the darkness, meaning hall is dark, not physically. Unless we are evolved, enlightened, everything is darkness around. He said, when you pray to God, he is not going to come and remove the obstacles from your path so that you can reach the exit point. But instead, he will come in your life. He knows where the switch is. He will switch on the light. Instantaneously, the darkness will go away. You will be able to see everything, obstacles as obstacles. Again, he will say, find the path yourself. How to move about?
You have to navigate.
Yes, you have to navigate. This is how Swami or God comes in our life and helps.
Wonderful. Wonderful. In fact, I think this analogy is so beautiful. Many times, you know, all these depressions in our life or all these occasions when we feel down, it's like we are in this world, but you know, we are in the darkness. That's why we hit different things at different point in time.
Right.
And that's the reason why we get hurt. We feel hurt about so many, something happens in the office, something happens at home, something happens in family, we get hurt. It's only because we are, in a manner, we are in the darkness.
Right.
So when Swami comes, you know, he switches on that light. So even though all those problems are still there, seemingly, but we easily know how to navigate because he has put on the light.
Yes. And for that, in the last chapter, which last para, which you had already probably discussed, I don't know. I wasn't present, that for that, you need buddhi.
You need the
sharp intellect.
Yes.
Attuned to God. And for that, Bhagavan had said, you have to have, see that food you eat has to be pure. Food is not a physical food only.
Yes. Correct.
Through all the senses.
All senses.
Because once I had asked Bhagavan a nice question. Of course, it relates to this point of today also.
Yeah, please share.
See, I had asked him, Swamiji, I know you are a God. But why do I forget over and over again? When I see your physical form, yes, you are God. Away from your physical form, again I forget. Why? Why my will is not strong enough. Then Swami, first he didn't want, it's not that easy to get the correct answer from Bhagwan. He told me, you think you are greater than Vasishtha and Vishwamitra? I said, no Swami, I never said that. He said, even they forgot, they were also in Maya. They didn't know who Rama is. Over and over again, they would take him as a human being. I said, Swamiji, I'm not comparing myself with those saints and sages. I'm concerning about myself. Why do I forget? Please guide me. Then he gave a wonderful answer. He said, see, it is first of all based on your past vasanas of previous births. Now, you can't change them, get rid of them so easily. You know they're there. They are there.
The tendencies we have picked up over the births, so many births.
So I said, Swamiji, what do I do now? He said, you must see that the food which you take is sattvic.
Oh, wow.
Now, sattvic food, I was thinking milk and vegetable, boiled vegetables and curd and fruits. He said, sattvic food has different connotations also. Like, how you procure food.
Yes.
How the food is cooked.
Pakasuddhi, padarthas.
Yes. How food is served to you.
Served.
What environments you eat the food. He said, the gross part of the food is wasted. The subtle part becomes muscles and blood. The subtler part becomes blood. The mind.
Subtlest part
becomes the mind, the thoughts. So, as you take the food, as it was said earlier, so will be the mind. Now, before I thought that, okay, this I know, Swami said, it is not important what you take through mouth, more important is what you bring out from mouth, that is your, the words. That is important. You should always speak softly, truthful, lovingly. Now, he said, food is not only taken through mouth. Food is taken through eyes. What you see, that determines.
Wow.
I said, Swamiji, I need your grace, but why do I forget? I was very impatient to get direct answer. He said, wait. It's, my grace is always there. In your container, there are so many holes where the grace is leaked out. He said, so the food, through eyes, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, what you touch, all will have impact on your thinking process, on your thoughts.
Everything is food.
Everything is food, through all the senses. Not only that, throughout the day, what you read, what people you interact with, what thoughts you entertain, all these things determine your willpower. You stop dissipating my grace through these outlets, then you see, then your excuse me, your will be as strong as my will.
See, it is like we are essentially so packed with grace, but because there are so many holes, it is just getting dissipated all the time. Exactly. The moment we just close the holes, then we become whole. I mean, we become holy God.
Whole. Yes, that's right.
We become whole. I mean, correct. Complete.
Correct.
So all we need to do is not draw grace, but all we need to do is close the holes. That's all.
That means purify ourselves.
Purify ourselves.
All sadhanas, if you see, according to my understanding after being with Bhagwan for such a long time, all these spiritual exercises are for chitta shuddhi.
Yes.
Why? Again, may I give another simile which Bhagwan had said. See, body is like a vessel. Inside the vessel or a glass, there is water which is mind. And the deepest point, bottom of the mind, is your self or atma. Very simple way. Swami, you was trying to explain, he had a glass in front of him, so he was telling me in one of the interviews. He said, see, if the glass you keep, If it is shaking, you will not be able to see even the water properly.
Correct.
So first make your body steady. For that, the formula which I have learned is keep the body in working condition, normal, below the attention needed, conscious attention needed. That means keep it in balance. Never pamper the body, never punish the body.
Yes.
Keep it functioning well.
Don't misuse or abuse it.
Abuse, yeah. Then, when body is steady, the mind will get the opportunity to be steady.
Hmm.
Now, mind has basically two impurities. One is the water in the glass, if it is dirty, you can't see the bottom of the glass. If the water in a, say, pond now, if it is wavy, again, you can't see the bottom of the pond. So he said, most of the sadhanas are purify the mind, meaning remove the impurities, and make the mind steady.
Steady.
When you do that, automatically you will transcend. First, you have made body perfect. You will transcend the body. Then only you can attack or take care of your mind. When the mind is steady, then only you will be able to go beyond mind and think of consciousness or God or self or Atma. So it is very important to go through those steps.
Yes.
You cannot say that I don't care about my thoughts and words and or heart or whether it is character, whether it is purity or not. I should be able to reach the goal. No, there are no shortcuts.
I think that's a very beautiful analogy, in the sense that Swami is saying, if only when the mind is steady, then the water is still, then only you can see the bottom, what
yes.
is there. That is the self. In fact, today, as the Buddha Purnima celebration was going on in Prashanthi Nilayam, in Sai Kulwanthal, we heard Bhagwan's discourse. And in that, Swami says, mukti for the mind is stability.
Wow.
When the mind is unwavering, that is a mukti for the mind.
Right.
Swami says, just like in physically, mukti for hunger is food.
Food.
So mukti for the mind is stability.
So nice.
Swami is explaining nirvana and mukti. So that's wonderful. In fact, it's very nice that you shared about how food affects how we progress on the spiritual path. And that's what Swami referred to in the previous paragraph. And from that, Swami moved on to this paragraph, where Swami very clearly begins by saying that there are so many acts and duties staring at an individual. Is it possible to attain realization? In fact, you went on and explained how there is no shortcut to not putting self-effort. So, where you very beautifully gave these examples, where Swami says that you have to do the walking. He will provide you an umbrella, he will provide you a shoes, he will switch on the light, but you have to walk. But here, you know, this is something that I think so many people also have this doubt that, you know, how can I pursue spirituality? I mean, how can I really walk on that path when I have like so many things to do? I have to look after my family, and as soon as I finish my education, I have to first build a career, I have to set up my home. I mean, there is very little time to really think about these things or do about any of these things. And that's what I think probably Swami is referring to here. Given that so many acts and duties staring at an individual, is it possible to attain realization? Swami himself is asking. So, sir, if you can share, you know, from your experience, if you ever had any such kind of dilemmas in your life?
Very many.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
I would come back to the point where I said that I was in a Middle East country.
Yes.
Where there was no dearth of anything.
Mm.
A common man on a straight spiritual path can achieve. But in spite of that, there was no contentment, there was no fulfillment. And keeping that goal in my mind, Swami accepted me and I came here. And then, as I said in an interview, he asked me, inquire, who am I, sir?
Hmm.
Don't waste your time.
Hmm.
Don't forget about your chemistry and chemical engineering. So, when I came out, I came to know through some very senior person, that who am I? It is the path of Raman Maharshi, and one has to really master that. He gave me, in fact, a book to read about it, and I went through it. Then I understood what Swami was referring to. Rigorously, because Swami had given this assignment, I spent all my time, apart from going to college and doing my duty, on inquiring who am I. Then, really, it's so hard to start with. I was thinking, what has Swami told me? When I have some doubts or some question to ask, Swami would either in discourse or interaction will tell me that go within, go, find out who you are. I used to really find it so hard. Go within means where? How can I put my head inside my body and then find out who am I? So I was not able to get head and tail of it. It reminded me that should I become Hanuman, tear my chest and see who is there inside.
It was quite such an ordeal, right? Trying to go within was so difficult. Yes.
So, and it went on for about 3-4 years.
Oh.
In between, Swami gave one experience, which I'm not bringing it now, because it will have a little diversion. So, coming back to this point, I was almost frustrated. Then, 1990, Swamiji, with a gap of 11 years, he restarted the summer courses, summer school in Bindavan.
Summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. Before the academic year began.
Yes. It was May, June 1990 when he started. Then, he finished on 3rd June and 5th June I came back. I had in the discourses, which beautifully Bhagavan has described the role of body, the senses, the mind, intellect, ego, and then Atma. I would strongly recommend whosoever is serious on this path to go through the summer showers in Vrindavan 1990. So, Swami gave me the path. And then, there itself, I realized that I am wasting my time on doing anything else. Because Swami made one statement, 24 hours you should do sadhana. And the only sadhana he had given me to find out who I am. Then, I thought that doing anything other than that is waste of time. There itself, I decided that I'll go to Parthi and resign from my job. And such a big decision, I thought that I need Swami's direct and indirect indication. So there itself...
Even though Swami had given you the job.
Yeah.
But you felt the assignment was more important.
Yeah, because Swami said 24 hours you should do sadhana. If I do 24 hours sadhana... Then,
how can I teach?
How can I teach? How can I do anything? So, what I did, I asked Swamiji, there in Vrindavan, the day was last day of summer course, that in my mind, Swami, if you give me namaskar, that means you are giving me permission to go and resign. So, I was allowed to do video shooting. Then, Swamiji came to dining hall. I put my camera down and went and inquired, like a, you know, egoistic person, that, Swamiji, can I take namaskar? He knows, I don't have to explain why I'm asking for namaskar. He lifted his robe slightly and showed me his lotus feet. He said, take. I took namaskar, understood that it is, he has given the permission to go and resign. Came here, resigned, and the director, HOD, all were surprised. What has happened to you? I said, Swami has given me indication. From this day, my notice period starts. Whenever you can release me, please release as early as possible. Then it so happened, Swamiji came after a week or so, and cutting the story short, Swami told through register to the teachers that they are not asking me to interact with them. They have just started the academic year. I am free, they are free. So he induced the prayer in their minds, desire to have interaction with Bhagavan. Swami called all the teachers on a Sunday, 17th of June, 1990. And because I had resigned, but I used to sit separately, I thought that in my mind, monkey mind, I have resigned, but they are not accepted it. So I am still on the rolls of regular teachers. I also went. Then, there, Swami made me sit very close to him.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. What sadhana you people are doing? What is the meaning of sadhana? There he said, true sadhana is control of senses. True sadhana is sanctify your time, sanctify your knowledge. True sadhana is living together in a harmonious way. Then, suddenly, he looked into my eyes and he said, "Hey Bhagya, kya sadhana karne ko chata hai? What sadhana you want to do?" Then, I gave the answer, "Swamiji, I want to abide in self all the time. Now, he knows that I have resigned. So, I don't have to explain." Then I told him, "Swamiji, when I go in the class and teach the subject, it comes in my way. I am not able to abide in self." He did not allow me to full justice, justification of my resignation. Then he said in a tone which still I remember as if it has happened just few moments back. He said with the very big eyes looking, staring at me into my eyes, that if you segregate, this is spiritual, this is worldly, even in 1,000 births, I will not give you what you want.
Oh, wow. If you segregate what you're doing as spiritual and everything else as non-spiritual,
even in
1,000 births, I will not give you.
Yes.
He's the authority, so that I will not give you liberation.
There, I calculated quickly, the 1,000 births and no guarantee. Every birth, if I take as a human being, and on an average about 70,000 years gone, still he does not want to give me even indication that he wants to give.
And you actually were thinking that you're losing, we are wasting time now in this birth.
There, he came out, what is true sadhana? Everything is spiritual, he said. Whatever you do is spiritual, the way you do, that is important. So, thinking that we have no time is wrong. No time for any sadhana or spiritual practice is wrong. Whatever comes to you, take it as a sadhana. Deal everything as if Swami has assigned that job to you. And every person receiver of your services is Swami, through that individual is ready to receive your offering. That itself is sadhana. Another occasion, Swami had told me once, playing pun with my name, Bhagya. He said, "What is your name?" I said, "Bhagya." He said, "What is the meaning? I was just laughing in myself, within myself, because in the school days and college days, my colleagues used to tease me, Bhagya means bhag gaya, means he ran away. So I was just laughing. Swami said, no. What is the meaning of bhagya? I said, "Swami, bhagya means the fortune." He said, "Good fortune, bad fortune?" I said, "Swami, good fortune." He said, I said, "Swami, when I am with you, it is good fortune."
Yes.
He said, "I am always with you, in you, around you, above you. How can you say Swami is not with you? Swami is always with you."
So there is no question of when you are with me.
Yes. So it is all the time. Bhagya means good fortune, good fortune, good fortune. Then next time again he asked me, "What is your name?" I said, "Swamiji, Bhagya." What's the meaning of bhagya? Swamiji, good fortune. He said, no. See, the name bhagya. He gave them different interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
He said, bha means bhakti. Gya means jnana.
Oh, wow.
So, bhakti and jnana, both are required. Bhakti will reinforce jnana, jnana will reinforce bhakti. Okay, I was very happy.
Wow.
Again, after quite some time, few months, he asked me, what's your name? I thought that the Swami is going to give me something new. I said, Swamiji, bhagya. What's the meaning of bhagya? I said, Swamiji, bhakti and jnana. He said, see, bhagya, bha and gya, bhakti and jnana, they are the banks of river. And the water flowing is karma.
Oh.
All the three are required to reach the goal.
Oh, wow.
Like that, he told me everything is required. Okay. Then, he asked me that you are working in the industry. What type of workers you had? I said, Swamiji, part-time and full-time worker. What you used to give to the part-time workers? I said, Swamiji, part-time workers, wages according to what they have worked, how many hours? Nothing else? No, Swami. Because they are hired temporary workers, part-time. And full-time workers, Swamiji, they get full month salary. Then DA, TA, and pension, so many other benefits, Swami. He said, yes. I am also a manager. I also give according to whether you are part-time devotee or full-time devotee. All the sadhana you people do is only part-time devotion. Then I said, Swamiji, if that is part-time devotion, how can we be full-time devotion? He said, you do sadhana, you have a problem, you pray to me, I give it to you, that's over. Wage is over. But full-time devotion, if you have, then apart from salary, you get TADA.
Yes.
DNS allowance. DNS allowance.
Wow.
And pension.
Yes.
Which will be my grace, which will be useful to you, not only now, even the birth hereafter.
Wow.
I was very happy. Then I said, Swami, what is full-time devotion? How do we do that bhakti full-time? Then he said, full-time devotion is easier than part-time.
Oh.
I said, Swamiji, how can it be? Even part-time devotion, it takes away all our spare time. How can it be? He said, I have my yardstick of the devotion, full-time devotion. Here he revealed the divine secret. He said, maintaining equanimity under all the circumstances, at all the times, is full-time devotion.
Oh,
is
wow.
The highest devotion. So now you tell me, is it, Swami said, is it difficult, full-time devotion? You maintain equanimity. Whatever comes to you, take it as Swami's prasadam. So people telling that I don't have time to do sadhana, it's not acceptable to according to Swami's definition. Let anything come. How you respond to that? How you react? How you maintain equanimity? How you offer it to God? The quality of work, that will determine whether you are full-time devoted or not.
I think you can maintain equanimity only when you don't hold anyone else responsible. Suppose something wrong has happened, you think something wrong has happened, and in a normal circumstance, you know, you can get angry that this person had hurt me or my boss was not good with me. But if I think that, no, this is what Swami wanted me to experience now, then I will be in equanimity, then it will not bother me. Or if suddenly I've got a promotion and I can get really very ecstatic about it, and I can praise my boss and I can thank my stars, I can go on a party and everything. But if I think, no, this is what Swami has given me and I am just grateful to Swami, then I will not be super excited like that.
Right.
So I think, so to be a full-time devotion, as you mentioned, you have to first dedicate every activity, every experience to God, attribute everything to Him. Only then we can be in kind of days, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, actually, when good that you are bringing out this point, when Swami said, see, full-time is devotion is easier, maintaining equanimity under all circumstances, all the time. It's very easily said.
Said, yeah, but, easier said than done.
That also I had asked Swami, how can we do that?
Mm.
He said, as you pointed out very logically, when you have full faith in God, then nothing happens without His will, then you will be able to, it's a practice.
Yes.
You can't, as in the further para, Bhagavan said, you can't say that, let me study intellectually and then I'll achieve the goal. No, you have to go through the process.
Go through the process.
You,
first,
you,
I will learn swimming and then jump into water.
No amount of theoretical lessons will...
Even if you, in these days of virtual training and all that, even if you see the screens and even if you, you know, virtually swim in the air and then jump into water, you can still get it. You're going to drown.
Exactly.
You've got to jump into the water.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we have to go through the mill.
Yes.
Again, as we said in the beginning, there are no shortcuts on the spiritual path. But, okay, the mode could be different. The circumstances can be changed.
Yes.
But to some extent, but the rigor, the mind, training to the mind has to be undergone.
Yes. Wow. In fact, in another discourse, Bhagwan was saying that suppose you go to a person who has an important position in the society, then you cannot just walk into his house. You know, there will be guards and they will want to know who is it. You know, perhaps you have to send a brief about yourself, and only when you're called you go in. And Swami says, if just in the normal physical world, someone who is, you know, little important is not so easily approachable, then imagine to approach the one who is the Lord of everything in the universe. You know, not only physical, metaphysical and everything, He is the one who is the Supreme Lord. So, do you think it will be as easy as you just walk in whenever you want? So Swami says, there will be two guards. And for you to bypass them, to get their permission to go, Swami says the two things that you have to do is Shrama and Dhamma. Self-effort, Shrama. And Dhamma. Dhamma is patience. So I think with patience, your purity and perseverance, everything comes in there. So it is not so easy to achieve that. But I think, I feel, just like on so many occasions, Swami used to say that spirituality is so easy, Swami used to say. It is as easy as Swami used to say that even squeezing the petal of a rose
requires,
Swami used to say, you know, in one discourse, that needs an effort. But spirituality is even easier than that, Swami would say in some discourses. But I think it's about the state of mind. I mean, if we can really all the time be so connected and be so much stable in our mind that whatever happens, it is him, then maybe one day we'll reach there.
See, we have to make a choice.
Yes.
The control of senses, if I don't want, or let me put it in another way, if my goal is to achieve material pursuits, then thinking that the automatically spirituality or spiritual progress will take place, it's not correct. You have to give priority to the spiritual goal.
Priority.
And in fact, if you put your efforts, time, all the resources for the spiritual goal, then what you need in the world will come to you running without any efforts. People do not want to test or try, give a trial to it. And they just sit, no, how can I jump in? It's not jumping in. In fact, you are making yourself free of all the problems and tensions, and take everything what it comes as His will, and have that guts. Actually, path of spirituality is not for cowards, it's for heroes.
Yes, yes.
And once you do that, then you will realize it is really easy.
Yeah.
It's our natural tendency.
Yes. Yes.
And for that, Swami, at the, I may repeat here, very second interview or so, that is in 1987, Swami asked me, what do you want? I said, Swami, I want you. Okay. Swami gave a small discourse, because with us, my family, others were also there. After finishing the discourse, Swami, almost the interview was over, then Swami was giving Vibhuti Prasadam packets to each of the interviewees. When, before my turn came, I prayed to Swami, Swamiji, can I put a question? He said, what? I said, Swamiji, if you give the answer, not only we all will be benefited here, whosoever listens to this question and the answer will be benefited. Swami said, what is your question? I said, Swamiji, we know Avatar has come. Avatar is with us. I don't know how to make use of Avatar, full use of Avatar. I want to listen from Avatar's mouth.
Wow.
How to make use of Avatar.
Wow.
Swami stared at me and didn't give me the answer immediately. After finishing distribution of Vibhuti packets, my turn came with a bunch of Vibhuti packets. He said, take it. He made two sentences which are still valid. More than 30 years are over. Still it is valid. It will continue to be valid. It will be eternal answer. He said two things. Love. Love is God. Live in love. Love is God. God is love. Live in love. Then of course, that time itself, it reminded me, Swami has many times said, start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love, and end the day with love. That's the way to God. Second sentence, Swami said, Ahamkaram, aham plus akar. Aham, I, is Atma, is one. Akar, that is form. When the form gets attached to this aham, that is Atma, then becomes the diversity, the individuals. So there he didn't explain further. Both the sentences he just made, and it took me several years to understand, decipher, practice, fail, again put efforts. Finally, you will reach the goal. It is not impossible. It is hard, but it is not impossible. So, the solution to all the problems, I dare to say this out of my own experience, solution to all our problems in life is find out who you are. If you touch your core, all sadhanas are removal of the impurities, chitta shuddhi, remove that, maintain equanimity, steadiness of the mind. If you do that, touch the your being, the core, the existence. When you know who you are, you know everybody is embodiment of same self. You are not just individual atma or jivatma. It's one, the self, universal self. When you realize with direct experience, then all the problems are solved. Till then, let him be any person. He may achieve all the heights in finance or sports or scientist or a doctor or businessman. They will never be fulfilled. They will never feel content. I can assure you, I can challenge that. Once you touch yourself, who you are, all your desires are over. Not that you will become like a almost a dead person or a person which doesn't have consciousness, no. You will be above all. Nothing can tempt you. But yet, you will perform your role in the world, in fact, better than many others around you. So, once you do that, and for that, you have to put efforts. Incidentally, one interaction between me and my wife's uncle came. See, it was quite some time. I had a wonderful achievement in my life. Then suddenly some turns took place. And then I went abroad. Abroad, I got everything, and all my relatives, including my in-laws, they were very happy that now he has achieved a wonderful position. I need not elaborate on that. When I got offer, rather, I came to know that Bhagwan has started MBA course, and there is a possibility that he can accept me here. Having seen the futility of all the achievements in my life, I ran here. And with his grace and mercy, he accepted me. That time, one uncle commented, rather criticized. He said, "What do you want in life? You were struggling. You got wonderful job, position. You left everything and ran to Puttaparthi." Then he said, "You are a fool." In my mind, I didn't know how to react, elderly person. I said, "Uncle, to get a chemical engineering degree, rigorously I worked for 18 years. I'm not counting KG or junior KG, senior KG, nothing. First standard to chemical engineering, 18 years it took me. And we were not very rich, quite a middle class family. For everything I had to work very hard. Finally, I told uncle, I got the degree, very wonderful, flying color, I passed out. That, according to Bhagwan's terminology, was a begging bowl to get a job, beg for a job anywhere so that I can fill my belly and share something with others. So uncle, I told him, it took me 18 years. And 1982, here in Puttaparthi, was the first time I touched Bhagwan's feet. I said, I'm not counting from 1986, uncle. 1982, Swami allowed me to be admitted in his school. So, if I have given 18 years for a worldly degree, uncle, please allow me to be here for 18 years before you assess what did I achieve.
Oh, wow.
So, it was, you know, the goal was very clear to me. One has to have a determination. Then, Lord, really out of His grace, really He can shower in a split second what you are looking for. But your priority should be very, very clear.
Correct.
We can't say that it should come just by the way. No, no, no.
Even for simple worldly achievements, when you have to struggle so much.
Yes.
And you want something so profound, so high, so exalted, something which can fill you with permanent happiness. It is foolish to think that it will happen just like that. So, I think it's really... but the journey is indeed wonderful. I think once you take it in that spirit, and once you know that, because this is the journey that Swami wants us to take, He'll be there at every step to support us.
That's right.
I think, yeah, it might sound a little bit intimidating, but I think once you take up this journey, you know, just like if your father wants you to pursue becoming a doctor, and if until now you were saying, I will do engineering. Your father was like reluctantly saying, okay. But now finally you said, no, I will do medicine. Your father is fully happy. You know, then he will try to see that you get all the support that is needed to pursue that. I think it's something like that. Our spiritual father, you know, our Swami is very happy when she tells that, okay, now I have set my priorities correct now. Now I think he will not allow you to fall. Even if you fall, he'll be there. You fall only to that extent, such that you only become stronger.
Yes.
But you don't ever, you know, fall that you hurt yourself so much that, you know, you are incapacitated to follow your goal. He will not, never allow that.
Actually, so, you know, one sentence, the first book, Swami's teachings,
yes,
which came in my hand, was Sadhana, the inward path.
Yes.
It was a very cheap book at that time, available 3 rupees.
Yes.
I read and reread and reread.
Mm.
Why I am mentioning about that book, the title itself,
yes,
gives you everything.
Everything.
Sadhana is not the external path.
Yes.
It is a journey inside.
It's a journey inside.
Inside, meaning the transforming your own self, your
yes.
own
yes.
Vasanas and tendencies,
yes.
The vagaries yes. of the mind and impurities of the mind,
yes. Yes.
That has to be removed. Nobody
yes.
else. Yes, you will be own your assessment also will be done by you.
Yes.
But as we discuss, God is there externally to guide us. Also, He will direct you to go within
yes.
because the true guide is permanent. Eternal.
Yes.
Here, with us,
yes.
who will take us right till the goal.
Yes.
Goal is not external.
Yes.
Goal is also within.
Internal. Everything is internal.
Everything is internal.
What is inside of us is more profound,
yes.
and larger and bigger and most beautiful than anything that is there outside
exactly.
of us. So that is so I think the journey is exciting.
Yes.
The journey is exciting. And that is why, you know, the sages and seers and all those people in whose path the switch is on, they are always happy.
Right.
They are always happy. You look at them and think that, you know, their lives are miserable, but they'll be looking at us and thinking that, oh, this fellow's life is so miserable actually. But I think that's how life becomes a celebration.
Right.
I think that is when, you know, at that point in time, we don't even have to think that, you know, I have to take this in equanimity. Automatically, you'll take things with equanimity, because you can only smile at whatever happens.
One thing, you know, in this path, it's so clear that if you do not run after
yes.
your wants and desires,
yes.
what you need will come running to you.
Will come running to you. I think that's wonderful. And I think there must have been any number of experiences of that you have would have experienced on this. But today we are running out of time.
Sorry, I'm a little diverted.
No, which is wonderful. I only wish that we can continue this discussion. I really pray to Bhagwan that if you can join us for the forthcoming sessions of Vahini Satsang, because there is so much that, you know, Bhagwan with out of His immense grace has showered you with. And I think it is all these little conversations that we have had with Bhagwan, you know, in the interview room, in the veranda, in the college.
Yeah.
I think those give us such deep insights about how we should pursue this path. And as we know, I mean, this is a path where we hold each other hands. I think this is a path, it's not as if I am going to reach the goal. It's more important that so many also reach the goal. It is I to we to he.
In fact, in one of the interview where he
yes.
Opened my eyes that if you segregate worldly and
yes.
he said, I have made you in charge of the students.
Yes.
They are all Maharshi Tattvas. Through them, I am going to cleanse the whole world.
Right.
Make them good.
Mm.
Remove the husk from the paddy.
Yes.
Remove the dust from their personalities. Then make them good as worthy instrument. He promised, then I'll give you what you want.
Oh, wow.
So even helping somebody, it is helping your own self. Don't forget that. On that point, I brought that,
yes.
this point.
Wow. Wonderful.
So don't think that yes. you are helping.
You're doing
else.
Something else. Yeah. If you're helping someone, never ever think that you're helping someone else.
Helping your own
your
self.
Own self. Ultimately, everything is inside. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir, for making it possible to be part of this session. And I pray to Swami that we have this chance of your company
of satsang with you in the future episodes of Vahini Satsang whenever Swami makes it happen, whenever he wills. Dear listeners, please do share with us your experiences, your insights, your experiments with Vahini Satsang. We share and we grow together. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
You were listening to an episode of our program, Vahini Satsang. This episode was first aired on the 11th May 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.